Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Epistle of Romans, reading from chapter 8, reading verses 18 to 39. Romans 8, 18 to 39. For I consider the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So far, the reading of God's Word. Dear people of God, as I mentioned earlier, the purpose for us this morning is really to be able to say with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength, that in regard to the previous year, or this year yet, 2020, that everything that happened to us personally, or as a family, or nationally, that we can say with all conviction that God meant it for good. That really should be the assessment of faith in regard to the works of God in our lives. And no matter how difficult it may be for us to explain that, however difficult it may be, for us to unravel that to other people, to explain how that is the case. We still must say, God meant it for good. The inability for us to understand all that has happened and why it has happened does not take away this confession that God meant it for good. Job could not explain why the things happened. That was the reason for his stumbling, you remember. But it wasn't that he was saying that God is out of control. He just didn't have the rationale. He just didn't have the reasons. And he wanted God to explain that to him. And therefore overstepped his mark. So even though we may not have the explanations to provide other people that may say, how can you possibly say that God meant it for good? And they may point to this event or that event in your life and the life of others. Or in fact in the world in terms of the virus and all the tragedies that that's brought about, not only in terms of death, but people's lives being uprooted and turned upside down, and then feeling that nobody cares for them, and getting so frustrated, as we see on our TVs, people taking things into their own hands. They don't care what the government is going to do, because they think no one cares for them. How can we possibly say to them, God meant it for them? How could Joseph, all that he had gone through, rejected by his brothers, after being sold into slavery, having been taken into Egypt, and being put in prison, and then falsely accused before by his wife, Potiphar's wife, and then in prison, and then helping people still, and them forgetting about you until the famine, until these dreams of Pharaoh. How could he say to his brothers, you meant it for evil, and he felt it in his heart, but God meant it for good. Now, all of God's purposes are wonderful to behold, but the manner in which he brings about his good purposes are not always easy for us to understand. The Old Testament people could not understand why God would use the means and the ways that he used. Evil nations to come upon us and take us into bondage? That was Habakkuk's response. Lord, you're not doing anything. You're not doing anything. Lord said, well, I am doing something. I'm preparing a nation to come and teach you a lesson. And then he's horrified. Why would you use that method? Why would God have his people 400 years in Egypt in bondage? Why would he send them 70 years into exile? No, God has his ways. I mean, in one sense, it's portrayed for us in the manner in which he accomplished our salvation. His son was crucified on a cross. God showing his love and his purposes that confused everyone. I'm sure the devil was confused. I mean, for a while he was very optimistic. He had put the Son of God to death. But no. It was the greatest victory. People looked at the Lord Jesus Christ, taunted him. But isn't it true of that too? God meant it for good. No, as God's people, we need to learn. Need to learn, not only for this year. And as I said, we've had very sad things happen this year to our families. In terms of the Browns and Evangeline, as well as other people in our congregation, other deaths that have occurred, and as I said, difficulties with our nation, all of those things, we have to teach the world around us that God is in control. And so we say God meant it for good. And the Apostle Paul in Romans really unravels that. I mean, not in the sense that he explains every detail, but he does bring this same truth as this passage in Romans 8, and especially verse 28, of course, And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. I mean, not only is that a forward-looking verse as we look to the new year, but it's also equally applicable to the year before and the things that have happened. And we have to say about 2020, we know all things work together for good, for the good of God's people. And the Apostle Paul emphasizes it by saying, we know. There's a certainty about the Apostle's words and confession here. It's not something that perhaps is true. It's not something that sometimes it's true. It is something that is beyond doubt. We know for a certainty. We know beyond any doubt this wonderful truth. That all things work together for our good, for the good of God's people. It's speaking about the lives of all God's people. With all the corruption, as He's already spoken about, in terms of the creation, in terms of our own life, in terms of the persecution, as He goes on to speak about later on in this passage. He says He faces death all day long. And His life displays that. Beaten and left at the edge of town, that's the response He got for preaching the gospel. So He knew what it was to be hated. He knew what it was to be unjustly treated. And yet, He can say with all the confidence of His heart, for we know. It's not the Apostle Paul is saying, I know, I'm certain of it, I'm certain about my life. No. He makes a comprehensive statement. We know. God's people know. Every single Christian knows, should know, that God works all things for good. God has committed Himself to our care. And no one can change that. God has said, I will be your God. I will be your shield. I will be your great reward. That nothing will snatch us out of His hands. That we are under His care and protection, as Psalm 139 clearly teaches. We should be careful not to forget this certain promise as we look back on this past year. Many times things looked bleak. Many times our hearts were burdened. We were sad. The devil was trying to convince us that it was hopeless, that the worst had happened. So we don't deny those things. We don't rise above them like Stoics and pretend they don't exist. No, we feel each and every one of them. But we can say, God meant it for good. Even though we can't explain it, even though we can't logically lay it out, and there's no doubt about this, we know. People of God, do you have that certainty in regard to the previous year? I trust that you do. Because it doesn't come from me looking at your life and concluding that. No. It comes from stating what God has made clear in His Word. It is also a comprehensive statement. Because He says, we know that all things work together for good. He doesn't isolate the good things that happen and ignore the difficult things. No, everything is included. Good and bad is included. Because things happening to us that we think are good don't always lead to good things. I mean, the man that gains the whole world. He thinks it's good, but it didn't lead to good things. No, but for us, God brings all things together. It never fails. And though we might fail in handling situations, every situation, God will turn to good for us. Even our sins, even our waywardness, God turns to our good. That our faith is refined. We are strengthened. We are put back on our feet. We help to learn our lessons. As God did with Job. Taught him. He was a better person. After that, those incidents, he was a better person. And he knew God better. And knew that comfort better. Now everything. Everything. Just like the sovereignty of God, it doesn't apply to one area of your life. It applies to all areas of life. The whole of creation. Not only are we certain, not only do we know that it affects every aspect of our life, but that God's purpose is for good. And we know that all things work together for good. For good. That doesn't always present itself immediately to us in our lives. Sometimes it takes years. Joseph being experiencing all of those things, it took years before. And he was at the end, towards the end of his life. People watching him would say, is it going to be now? You said you believed in that. Is it going to be now? Is it good now? Is it good now? It doesn't matter how long it takes. It's not a matter of if. No, that's a certainty. It's just a matter of when. When. Now we look back at 2020. But one day, we will look back at, of all time, from the beginning to the end. And we will say then, before the very presence of God, that God did all things well and for our good as we enjoy His presence, as we dwell with Him in His house for eternity. Now, people of God, never let go of that. Never compromise. Never let people point fingers at God and criticize Him that He isn't loving, that He hasn't been faithful. And all around us, they look gloomy, just as Habakkuk, as we sang, when things failed left, right, and center. Now God will bring it to our good. Now when God has finished that work in this whole creation, that's what the creation does. It's looking forward, it's yearning, it's groaning for God to bring that good that He has designed to fruition. Not only in the inanimate world, but in our lives. And He will. He will. We will be beautifully adorned as God's people. But this verse and this confidence that Paul is expressing isn't universally applied in the sense that it's not for everybody. Not everyone can take that confidence and speak it as applicable to themselves because the verse doesn't say that. The verse says, and we know all things work together for good for who? To those who love God. To those who love God. We need to be careful that we don't universalize the gospel in the sense that it applies to everyone. No, the call goes out to everyone. But everyone doesn't enjoy it, even as John 3:16 very clearly says, if that's the verse that people would so often referred to. Oh, it says, God so loved the world. God so loved the world. That's true. It does say that. But then it goes on to say, whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So this confidence that Paul is speaking about, it's restricted to God's people. That's what he says. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. That is your confidence. And so we take that to ourselves. We take comfort in the fact that we love God with all of our heart and mind and strength. We don't just say it because other people want us to say it or we want to fit in. We say it because we mean it in our hearts and lives. People sometimes struggle with assurance. Am I really a Christian? Am I really a Christian? And my question, my answer to them is, you know. You know. You know in your hearts if you love God. You know in your heart if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can answer those questions with 100% certainty. You can fool other people, but you can't fool yourself. If we confess with our lips, our mouth, that Jesus is Lord, the Savior of the world, and we trust in Him, you don't need the assent of other people. You don't need somebody else to tell you, oh yeah, I think you're a Christian. No. We depend on the work of God in our hearts and lives. And when we say those things with all of our heart, it is because the Holy Spirit enables us to say those things. And so we're confident about that. But Paul goes on, not only in terms of our response to God, the work that He does in us that leads us to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but he says, for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Lest we think that our statement that I love God is generated by me in my own strength, think again. No, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's according to the purposes of God that were already established before the creation of the world, when God set His love upon us, as He speaks about in Ephesians chapter 1. No, us loving God isn't a work that we have accomplished, otherwise it would be fickle. No, it's because He loved us that by His Spirit He leads us to love Him and to trust in Him. This is why verses 29 and 30 go on to make the point that it all began from election. All those whom He foreknew, those He predestined, He also conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And then verse 30, moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. There's no changing of the number of people. It applies to every single person. So since God has elected us, all of these things follow. Because God's purposes have always been good for us. What a comfort this is for God's people that we can go not only in the year past, but also into the future, knowing that God is actively at work in us, protecting, preserving, bringing about good for us. And so that leads to that certain confidence that we have. Confidence of canceled sin. Paul wants us to be fully confident in this promise, for it is vital for us if we are to live and die in this comfort of God. Paul therefore asks, who can be against us considering the promises of God? Why should we be afraid of anybody? Who is going to take this away? If God did not keep back His own Son, He did not spare His own Son but gave Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him give us all things freely? Who is able to overturn God's purposes in regard to us? He has done so much. We're on solid ground. Nobody can snatch us away. God will never fail to provide all that we need. I mean, how can we even think that? If he did not withhold his son, how will he say, after he's given us his son to death, say, oh, you're asking too much. This is way too much. I can't do this. That's just going way over the line. He's given us everything. And he will continue to give us everything. And who will seek to deny us this wonderful privilege? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? Who will try and undermine this confidence that we have in God by pointing to our sin? No one. Why? Because no accusation can stand. Why? Because how can you bring an accusation to God about a Christian when God is the very one that loves me and gave his son for me? How will he allow that? How will a Christian be condemned when Jesus Christ is sitting right next to the Father and he's the one that suffered on the cross for our every sin? So when somebody brings up a sin like Satan, I mean, it's a mockery. He was already humiliated by those sins being nailed to the cross. No, God will have none of it. No one will be able to bring any charge. Not that we're perfect, don't get me wrong. No, but he's taken care of those sins. So we shouldn't doubt. We shouldn't say, oh, but I've done this wrong, oh, I've done that wrong. Oh, I'm not perfect. We know that. The scriptures know that. Paul knows that. He knows it about himself. But it doesn't take away from this confidence that he's speaking about. But God has worked all things for good for us. And we have this wonderful companionship of God, that he is with us, that he guides us and he leads us. One might think, what if I get into so much trouble and distress and panic? What if I become isolated from God? And Paul reminds us that nothing is able to cut us off from God's love and care. We know he watches over us. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't get distracted. In fact, angels encamp around those who fear the Lord, because they are his children. And Jesus clearly teaches, no one can snatch us out of his Father's hands. Just remember, you were rescued from the clutches of the devil. There's the power of God. The devil was defeated. So who is able to contend against us? Nobody. No one is able to take us from God's care. And this year marks another year in which the forces of evil have failed, because God has preserved us. And so it brings conquest through life. As we rejoice in this promise and care and love, let us not, however, think that we will not face trials and difficulties and severe ones of that, such as tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, peril, sword, and even death itself. For we know we will. We will. No one is promising Christians a trouble-free life. But we are promising, by the word of the Lord, that all things will work together for good. And God will accomplish those truths in us. And so not only as we look back, but also as we look forward, this is the strength and the comfort with which we move forward. God has meant everything for good. And he will continue in this way for those that love him and are called according to his good purposes. So people of God, let us walk under his wing. Let us truly believe in him. Because then it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what will come. We will always be safe in his hand. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that you surround us with your redemptive arms and you speak to us kindly in your word. And our Father in heaven, so often we're slow to understand and we're slow to meditate on these things. But we're so thankful that you have brought those to our ears and to our hearts. And our Father in heaven, we pray that we would learn to reflect upon them every day of our life, so that we can keep at bay the forces that seek to undermine our faith. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would indeed receive our thanks and our gratitude, and that you will indeed be pleased to continue to use us as instruments of righteousness and light and salt to the world around us. For we pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us respond as we stand and sing from the red hymnal number 605. 605.